This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. It's good to be with all of you once again. You know, before I get started, I wanted to just take a moment to extend our appreciation on behalf of all of us here at the Armor of God for so many positive and encouraging comments that many of you have made expressing your appreciation for the unashamed and uncompromising way that we have been presenting the gospel to you and letting the chips fall where they may, even, and if necessary, at the risk of being censored, which occasionally some networks have in fact censored the telecast of the Armor of God when we cut across certain politically correct lines on subjects such as homosexuality, abortion, marriage, child rearing. We wanted to extend our appreciation for sticking with us, for your continued support, because with that support, we assure you, we will continue to cry aloud and spare not and continue to provide the material that we have to provide free of charge. That's right, and it gives me great pleasure to be able to say that, because without your support, we couldn't do that. And it gives us a great sense of satisfaction to be able to provide this gospel at no charge to you. So we wanted to just take a moment out here to thank all of you for your continued support and encouraging statements. Now, on to the program. You know, undeniably, in today's day and age, we hear a lot about the end of days, the end of time, you know, the end of the world. And there's a lot of prognosticators out there, a variety of ministries that are out there today focused on the topic of the end of the age. There are multiple publications that are also devoted to advancing a particular interpretation or some type of worldview on how some of these scenarios, some of these prophecies are allegedly to play out. Oh yeah, in years past, men like Sir Isaac Newton, of course, Nostradamus, many of us are well aware of, even Edgar Casey, and in the 1800s, a man named William Miller, and of course, organizations of modern day like the Jehovah's Witnesses and others who have been known to focus on prophetic messages, all advancing end time scenarios, all claiming to be the truth, and of course, all continuing to claim that they are indeed the Word of God. Well, let me interrupt myself before I get started here on today's program in more detail to present to you our free offers. And as mentioned again, free of charge, because we don't charge any money on any of the offers that we present here on the Armor of God. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 and ask for the two offers that we're offering. One is a CD offer, a two-disc offer called An Introduction to Revelation, Part 1 and 2. Along with that, we're asking you to sign up and to enroll in our correspondence course. That's right, our Bible home correspondence course. We'll send you one lesson and then go ahead and send you back, after you do, send us back, that is, the test at the end of the lesson, and we'll send you lesson 2 and repeat that, and you'll get lesson 3 and 4 and so on. I don't know exactly how many lessons we have, but I know it's well over a dozen and will take you a couple of years, frankly, to get through it. But it is well worth your time if you truly are interested in bringing your Bible alive. So dial now 888-578-8791, and don't forget about our website there at www.cgi.org. We have a lot of additional interesting things there for your perusal and consideration, and certainly will be helpful to you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Now, back to the program here on outlining Revelation. We have, as I said, so many individuals today who have presented, promoted, advanced particular scenarios. I mean, I think you remember, of course, Nostradamus, as I've already mentioned. You remember guys like Edgar Cayce. Even most recently, we had this Heaven's Gate thing, if you recall, where all these people thought they were going to be wafted off to some kind of comet, and they all killed themselves in so doing, thinking, I guess, that their immortal souls would be resurrected and sent up to that comet. And then, of course, you have Charles Manson, who is still wasting away in jail, thinking that there was going to be an end-of-the-world scenario all based around Helter Skelter, the old Beatles song, if I remember correctly, and of course, guys like Jim Jones. All of these guys, many of them, who have in the past, and I'm sure in the future will come our way again, oftentimes, my friends, forget one major item. They really do forget one major item. And if you hearken back to the ones that I've just mentioned, I think you'll all agree that they forget to consider the Bible. And at best, in some cases, oftentimes, if the Bible is included, well, frankly, it's marginalized. Its reference, perhaps, is so much salt and pepper to add some kind of element of credibility to their statements, but the real fact is that they really want you to better understand and better adopt or better accept their opinions, their own personal worldviews, their own personal observations and or scenarios that they themselves have conjured up in their own minds. They forget, they really do, my friends, that the Bible is the revealed Word of God. And when you forget accepting the Bible as the revealed Word of God, well then, guess what? You are vulnerable to become very confused. And obviously, if you're confused, those who are going to listen to you or who you attempt to teach are going to be confused as well. And sadly, instead of adopting what the Bible says, they end up adopting what the man or the woman advances as their personal opinion. My friends, we need to remember one thing very importantly, and that is we need to concede to the revealed Word of God and allow the Bible to interpret itself. Because we need to remember, all of us do, that the Word of God is the beginning of wisdom. It provides insight into the mysteries of God. And all of us, I think, are well aware of the fact that the book of Revelation is certainly a book that is well considered to be a book of mysteries. I mean, there are eschatologists, which is nothing more than a big word of someone who studies prophecies and apocalyptic events, and or different seers and scholars who scratch their head wondering, you know, just what is this book of Revelation all about? And yes, it is unfortunate that they don't let the Bible interpret itself, because the book of Revelation, though it is mysterious, there are some things that we can understand. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't pretend, nor do any of us here on the Armor of God, or for that matter, the sponsoring body of this broadcast, the Church of God International, try to express to you that we know everything about the book of Revelation. We don't. But there is a broad outline of the book of Revelation that we can understand. Because you see, the book of Revelation is a sequencer. And ironically enough, it is a book of revealings. Because you see, that's what the word revelation means. The word revelation means revealings. So you wonder, well, why is it so hard then to understand? Again, let me reiterate, because oftentimes people don't let the Bible interpret itself. If we would get back to allowing the texts to interpret themselves, then perhaps we would stay out of trouble and stay in line with the Bible. And sadly, and I think unquestionably, many of you wouldn't argue this point with me, the Bible doesn't get a lot of publicity as being a book of prophetic value. Oh, we get all Twitter-pated over visions of Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce or perhaps certain scenarios that are purported by some prophetic church organization that has, you know, gone ahead and drifted from the Bible, but we don't take the time to really consider what the Bible says. And yet the Bible, my friends, is just chock full of all kinds of very valid and legitimate information that does, in fact, validate its prophecies, things that it said. I mean, you could go ahead there in Isaiah 41 as an example. Look at Isaiah 41 where God is telling you and I that He is the God of gods, that only He is in control of the things that can be controlled. And it is by His ability to know history that He can portend and portray the future and events that are going to come down on mankind. And He challenges men, people like you and I, to get a grip on history. If you really are going to understand prophecy, get a grip on history so that you can understand the patterns, because it's the patterns, it's in the patterns that lie the answers to what is going to happen for us in the future. Also there in Isaiah, Isaiah by name actually names a man called Cyrus who would be very instrumental in freeing God's people. Some few hundred years later, of all things, you read in the book of Daniel that Cyrus, a Persian king, essentially was instrumental in releasing and allowing the Jews to return back to Palestine after 70 years of incarceration by the Babylonians. And that was mentioned by the prophet Isaiah some 200 years or so before. So I say that only to illustrate to you an example of the fact of how the Bible does indeed have value in explaining prophetic events. And the book of Revelation is a sequencer of prophetic events. Now, let me turn your attention to the book of Revelation. I'm already there and would just like to bring your attention to it because it is a very interesting book. Now, we're not going to be able to even hardly scratch the surface of this book today. However, that's why I strongly suggest that you get the offers. The two-tape disc series, that is, the two-disc series will provide you with so much information that I will not be able to get into that it'll be very helpful and what you could say complementary to this particular telecast. But let me draw your attention over here to chapter 1 for a moment. The book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. Right off the bat, we see that this book is not a book of revealings from John. Oh, John was used. But the one who was behind all that's disclosed here in these chapters that are basically making up the book of Revelation are the revealings and revelation of Jesus Christ. And in this particular case, in verse 2 of chapter 1 in the book of Revelation, we see that John was to bear record of the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus, and all the things that he saw. And in chapter 1 here, essentially what we see are two major players, John the Apostle, and the fact that Jesus Christ is directly communicating to John information that he wants John to record for future generations so that we might be able to know things that would come down in the future times so that we could recognize God's intervention, His interaction, and His direct involvement in human affairs, because your Bible is quite clear throughout its pages from Genesis to the book of Revelation that God, my friends, God is involved in geopolitical events. God is, in fact, steering situations and geopolitical conditions to culminate in a storyline that He created and caused before the world was. That's what your Bible says. In the broad spectrum of things, don't get me wrong, we're not advancing Calvinism here, saying that your life is predestinated, not talking about that at all. I'm talking about in the broad scheme of things, God is in control of the big picture. And He is bringing to fruition a conclusion of this plan of action that He initiated back in the Garden of Eden. And His mission will not be denied, my friends. Your Bible is loaded with information regarding how he's bringing that to a conclusion. The book of Revelation is the sequencer of many of those events. It puts them in the line item order so that you can understand it. Again, let me remind you, we don't pretend to know everything about what the book of Revelation has to offer, but we do know some very broad outlines. As mentioned, this book here, written by John the Apostle and presented to him by Jesus the Christ, gives us an awful lot of information to allow us and afford us some insight in how end-time scenarios will indeed play out. Now, in this particular case, John is about to be told what is going to happen on the Lord's Day. In essence, the whole book is summarized, as far as Jesus is concerned, in a thumbnail statement. It has nothing to do with the day of the week, like Sunday or Monday or Saturday or Tuesday, but has everything to do with the scenario of events that Jesus the Christ discloses to John in his definition as the day of the Lord. In other words, this is the last chapter of humankind, and these events begin to define that last chapter and this particular day that is defined by all of these events. And we go on and we see here in verse 19 of that same chapter 1 of book of Revelation, that in verse 19 we read, "Write the things which you have seen the past, and the things which are the present, and the things which shall be hereafter," past, present, and of course then the future. So that's what this book's about. It's about the past. It's about historical events. It's about the present, because John was alive when he was receiving these visions and this revelation. And also, of course, what is presented here and what was communicated for future generations is the events, of course, that are illustrative of what is going to happen in the future. Now, chapters 2 and 3, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in them, suffice it to say, are descriptions of seven congregations that existed in the present, that were on a mail route over there in Asia Minor, were known as Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, Laodicea there was Philadelphia, there was Sardis. These were actual church congregations that are profiled here in chapters 2 and 3, and of which Jesus, because if you have a red-lettered Bible like in my Bible here, if you could see it, it's red lettered. And of course, these are all the words of Jesus Christ talking to John as he, Christ, not John, Christ, profiles from his vantage point the condition of these congregations. And there's a lot here, my friends, we all could learn from, because there are particular characteristics that are profiled here that are very contemporary for all of us modern-day Christians to learn something from if the truth were known. So it would do you well to make a Bible study out of chapters 2 and 3. Chapters 4 and 5 basically now bring us along and essentially illustrate to us that John is actually time-traveling. Yeah, I don't know if he's in a wormhole. I don't know how this occurred, but I do know one thing. He says here in verse 1, after this, that is after chapters 2 and 3, the profiling of those congregations, he says, "I looked and behold," now this is chapter 4, verse 1, "a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up here,' it said, 'and I'll show you things which must be hereafter.'" In other words, these are going to be future things. "Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." So here John is illustrating and now about to describe basically the very throne of God. John's in a different dimension. He was taken in by vision. His mind, I don't know if he was comatose in some cave somewhere. It doesn't say really his present condition and what happened to him physically, literally, while this was all happening. But suffice it to say, John was transported in vision in his mental consciousness enough to write all this down to afford us an insight into the very throne area, the very kingdom of God, where God the Father and Jesus the Christ and the 24 elders and different creatures surround the very center of the universe, my friends. This is exciting stuff. I don't know if you understand it in that fashion, but you should take the time. Read chapter 4 and 5. It's quite an astounding read. But now here in chapter 6, we begin to bounce up on what I call is the commencement or the initiation of the broad outline of the book of Revelation. Because if the truth were known, the fact is Revelation is broken out into three sets of seven. The first set are seven seals. The second set are seven trumpets. And the third set are seven last plagues, or also synonymously labeled as the seven last vials. Now, each one opens up into the other. Chapter 6, you will notice, describes basically what you would consider to be the first four or five seals. And you can see verse 9 is the fifth seal. And then, of course, in chapter 12, we see the sixth seal is opened up. Chapter 7 is what we would call an inset chapter, of which some novelists have habits of also doing, where you add a little sidebar or a digression to bring you up to speed in another area of the storyline. But then you'll notice in chapter 8, and I want to bring your attention to this, because in chapter 6, remember, chapter 6 was pretty sequential. 1 through 6 seals are essentially described right there in chapter 6. Chapter 7 is a digression, or what we would call an inset chapter. But then chapter 8, the storyline picks back up. Look at this. Verse 1, chapter 8 in the book of Revelation, and when he had opened the seventh seal, you see? And the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Verse 2, now look at this. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So here's what I said again. Remember, the seven seals come first, and they are described there in chapter 6, six of them anyway. Then the seventh is essentially the curtain opening to present to you the seven trumpets. This is part of that broad outline I'm talking about that is contained here in these 22 or so chapters of the book of Revelation. And, of course, then in chapter 8 and in 9, and then actually on into chapter 10, we see these seven trumpets basically described. Now, I want to bring your attention, though, back over here to chapter 8 for a moment, and essentially read here verse 13, because after the fourth angel, that is the fourth trumpet, is sounded, we read, "And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice," look at this, "woe, woe, woe, to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Meaning, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet are also synonymously or in parallel labeled the last three woes. That's right, the last three woes. And you can read there here in verse 12 where we read, "One woe is past," meaning the fifth trumpet, "one woe is past, and behold, there comes two woes more hereafter." And then, of course, you see verse 13, the sixth angel, and then the seventh is in verse 7 of chapter 10. Look at this, Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound," that is the trumpet, "the mystery of God should be finished." Chapter 11 is another inset chapter. Chapter 12 is another inset chapter. Chapter 13 is another inset chapter introducing to you some of the forces and powers that are behind some of the events that are described in chapter 6 of the first six and seven seals, and of course, there in chapter 8 of the seven trumpets. And then we come to 14, another inset, and then you come to chapter 15 where the storyline begins to pick up, and you begin to see now that there is a new label associated with these seven last vials called the wrath of God, and of which are dished out and dispensed at the return of Jesus Christ and described accordingly in Revelation chapter 16. And then, friends, and time's running out on me, you've got chapter 17, another inset, chapter 18, another inset, chapter 19, describing the return of Christ, chapter 20, after Christ lands on the earth, what happens to Satan, the devil, and the millennium, and after the millennium, and then you have 21 and 22, talking about how the Father is going to come to earth and make his abode with mankind, and then a whole new beginning with new heavens and a new earth. And as you can see, there's a lot more to this story and book of Revelation. But in summary, I just want to mention, keep in mind the seven seals that open up into the seven trumpets, of which open up into the seven vials. Three sets of seven. As the Bible, that is the book of Revelation, sequences the Bible in these latter times, there they are identified in those three sets of seven for you. The seals, the trumpets, and the vials. Friends, stay with us for these few closing comments, and we'll see you right back here next week.
Well, friends, the book of Revelation is not a fearful book. It is not a book that is cloaked and hidden. It is a revealing book. In fact, apocalypse, the Greek term, means revelation. It means opening up. And Bill Watson shared with you today, from his understanding and his overview of the book of Revelation, those things that God wants us to know. In fact, friends, you need not fear the book. You need not run away from the book. We are providing material that will help enhance your understanding concerning the book of Revelation. But let me share this little point that you might not have known. In Revelation 21 and verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." That's interesting. That's revelatory. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Friends, the reward of the saved is ultimately to be on the earth with God, with Jesus Christ, and with all the saints of God on the earth. That is revelation. That is the end result and the intent of the book to encourage the churches. Those three sets of sevens that Bill talked about in the program. Friends, all it takes, if you want to know more about the book of Revelation and not be fearful of it, is to make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 to receive parts 1 and 2 of An Introduction to Revelation and the correspondence course from the Church of God International. Just dial us toll-free or hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. Till next time, I'm Bronson James here on the Armor of God, reminding you, as always, put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that you will be able to stand in the evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.